As we head toward Arizona's August primary elections, we're inviting in the candidates running in contested races to talk about why they're running and some of the key issues in their contests.
You know, it's been 24 years since Arizona has had an educator at the helm of the Department of Education.
I am a proud American Muslim woman.
That although our election system is the greatest in the world, it is still far from perfect.
We need more options for our young people, more counselors, more social workers.
Common Core's been repealed by the State Board of Ed, and now we have new standards.
And we know what's possible if we keep moving forward.
The current shortcomings of the office have left our system vulnerable to cyber attacks.
We're gonna fly, fight, and win on Election Day with your help.
Today, Sandra Dowling. She is running for Congress in District 8, where she's facing off in the primary against longtime state legislator Debbie Lesko. But Dowling is not new to Arizona politics. For more than almost 20 years, she served as the Maricopa County School Superintendent, where she became one of former Sheriff Joe Arpaio's targets in 2006. His deputies raided her home in the middle of the night, and she was charged with 25 felonies over alleged corruption. But those charges were eventually dropped because of conflicts with Arpaio's office, and she pled guilty to one nepotism charge, a misdemeanor. When I sat down with her, we talked about all of that controversy in her past and why she wanted to run for office now.
Well, I think that it's an important time in the United States. I think that with my past experience and with my military background and my business background and my education background, I think I can bring a lot to the table when it comes to that voice of reason and that voice of trying to build on the future rather than focus on the infighting that's been going on in recent years.
So you're running against Debbie Lesko for the Republican primary here. Mm-hmm. You're both pro-Trump, pro-life, want to end the Affordable Care Act. What are some of the differences you see between you and Debbie Lesko?
Well, I think the biggest focus coming up in this next Congress, admittedly by Republicans and Democrats alike, is Social Security and Medicare benefits. And what I've been asking the voters as I've gone out there, do you believe that Social Security is an entitlement or do you believe it's an earned benefit? And how you approach the question, I've learned over the years in my public policy experience, the way you frame that the debate before you get started is really going to be important in the outcome that you want to achieve.
What are people saying?
Universally, they say that Social Security is an earned benefit.
Hmm.
And I find that interesting because every time you hear somebody in Congress mention Social Security, they talk about it as being an entitlement. And I think that what my constituents are looking for, and it really hasn't mattered whether they're currently on Social Security or they're approaching Social Security or they're in the younger generation looking for Social Security, they've all said the same thing. This is something that we have worked for. We've given a loan to the federal government our entire working career, and it's something that we're due back. And, you know, I find that interesting because when I was at the last two meetings I was at, they weren't political meetings, they were community meetings. And when I asked the question, everybody in the room raised their hand, and I said to them, you know, this is just an example of some of the things in this country that we are not divided on. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat, you still want the same outcome. You still want to feel valued. You want to feel like your contribution that you've made for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years is important. And you want to make sure that the contract that you made with the federal government from the first day you worked forward, that they're going to honor that contract for you.
Yeah. I want to also ask you about education. You were the county superintendent for many years here.
I was.
What role do you think the federal government, though, should be playing in education? How would you approach that in Congress?
Well, I think one of the things that the federal government needs to do, there's different levels of education that the federal government is involved in. They've got K-12, of course, but they also play a significant role in special education, and they play a very important role in higher education. But in K-12, I think they can set the direction. And one of the things that's happened over the last 12 to 15 years is as Washington has taken more control of local education, which they shouldn't be doing, they have managed to control the funding and they've managed to use that to dictate how local communities should implement education policies. And I think it's going to be really important for somebody that has my experience to be able to give them direction on how they can decentralize, not necessarily eliminate the Department of Education, but decentralize it and make it closer to the people and to the students that they're supposed to be serving. You do that through regional service centers. You do that through local education agencies. You do that by bringing your county superintendents and people that are directly on the front lines. And now to take the curriculum and move it down to some of those regional centers and some of those local centers would be a huge impact on improving the quality of education. And it would also allow for school choice for those students that can't necessarily afford a private school or some of the more expensive types of education. It would give those inner city kids and those kids from a lower socioeconomic level the chance to participate in an education that where they can control their destiny and their parents can control their destiny.
So would you agree with what your opponent, Debbie Lesko, has done in the state legislature regarding vouchers?
Well, you've got two things. Number one, you've got a couple things. You've got tuition tax credits, you've got open enrollment, you've got charter schools, you've got vouchers, and now you've got empowerment scholarship accounts.
Right.
And empowerment scholarship accounts are a lot different than vouchers themselves. So the way that the current empowerment scholarship accounts have been put together, I probably am not going to be supportive of that, primarily because the vouchers were designed for children to give them an opportunity to go to a private school if that's what they thought they needed to do. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for those students that were already there. And I would rather focus on the children that don't have the opportunity and moving them forward than to make it so universal that those children may not be able to access it because the funds may not be available. Our tax resources and our tax dollars are only going to stretch so far.
Interesting. Okay. Your name will not be unfamiliar to voters because of that, but also, of course, because of some of the controversies you've been involved in the past.
Sure.
You, of course, ran the Thomas J. Pappas School for Homeless Children. Your home was raided by then-former Sheriff Joe Arpaio. You ended up pleading guilty to employing a relative and served 4 months probation in 2008. So I want to just give you a chance to sort of say, you know, what do you have to say to voters about some of these things they may have heard about your name in the past?
Well, I think that it's important when you realize the magnitude of what it is that I went through and what my family went through, I think that people can appreciate the justice system. In my particular case, it worked very well. I had been charged with many felonies that I was not guilty of, and I decided to stand my ground the same way I would stand my ground for any resident in my district if I were in Congress. But I stood my ground, I protected my family name, and I was successful at that. The 25 felony counts were actually dismissed by a judge. Then I went back, by the way, and I went to the county and I sued them for defamation of character, and I won that lawsuit also. And they don't pay defamation lawsuits if they've not done anything wrong.
You settled the lawsuit for $250,000.
Yeah, I did settle the lawsuit for $250,000. And by the way, that all went to legal fees. I think that when you go through the system and when you have to stand tall the way I had to, I think that in looking back on it, it was the worst nightmare that I'd ever gone through. But now that I've been through it, I think it's made me a stronger person. And it's definitely made me a more compassionate and more understanding person when it comes to people that are trying to find a way to make the system work for them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what I'm all about, is trying to make the system work for every single person that needs that kind of assistance. It doesn't matter whether you're a veteran, whether you're a retiree, whether you're a child in the education system. And we had many students that got expelled from school. My job was to get them back into school. Mm-hmm. So I've always been that kind of underdog advocate. And I really do expect to carry that on in my congressional career.
Yeah. What about that one count that you did end up pleading guilty to,
well,
a misdemeanor?
Yeah, that was one of those things where my daughter lived in Tempe. She went to Arizona State University. She had her own condominium over here in Tempe while she was in college. But I declared her on my taxes. And because I declared her on my taxes, we made the agreement that the misdemeanor it was a petty offense that I pleaded guilty to, it was equivalent to a traffic ticket, to running a red light. When it was explained to me, it was like, you know, this is running a red light, and in return, you're going to get 25 felony counts dismissed. I was like, that's not the best deal in the world, but, you know, I could do worse. And, you know, and the problem with that was, is if I would have continued, my family would have had to come up with millions of dollars for that defense. We're both teachers. We didn't have that kind of money. So we went ahead and did the best thing that we could to move forward in our lives. And I still believe to this day that I went through the system, I was found innocent, and I have nothing to hide, I have nothing to be ashamed of, and I definitely have a lot of public service left to give.
All right. Sandra Dowling, Republican primary candidate for CD8. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.